Good morning, and thank you for coming to our show this morning. Believe it or not, I am really excited about today's show. Now, that may surprise some of you since I've really never talked that much about for sale by owners, and I need to be fully upfront about something. I never formally pursued them, and I only listed a few that came to me via my sphere of influence. So take that for what it's worth. I am not an expert in for sale by owners, but I do think that I have a reasonable amount of common sense and a pretty good grasp of human nature. And I have given quite a bit of thought to how I would like to be approached if I were a for sale by owner, otherwise known as FSBO, but perhaps more specifically, how I would not like to be approached. Basically, what would work on me if I had chosen the FSBO route, and of course, what wouldn't have worked on me. But in case that's not persuasive enough to keep your attention this morning, I've brought two guests on the show with me who have pursued and enjoyed success with for sale by owners, and they're willing to tell you all about how they did it without selling their souls to do it. And from what I've seen and heard, that seems to be the biggest factor in agents' reluctance to go after for sale by owners and expired listings for that matter. Which, by the way, a lot of what we're going to talk about today could probably easily apply to expired listings, so please do keep that in mind. We aren't going to talk specifically about expireds, but I think you'll see some definite parallels between FSBOs and expireds. Anyway, many agents, particularly lots of those in my crowd, have adamantly refused to even consider pursuing for sale by owners because their perception of FSBO getting techniques is that they're cheesy, pushy, and unprofessional. And therefore, because they're cheesy, pushy, and unprofessional, they're very likely to include a high level of rejection, which my folks just don't tend to like too much. And the thing is, they're right. When you prospect to anyone, not just for sale by owners, but when you prospect to anyone using cheesy, pushy, and unprofessional techniques, you are going to be rejected a lot. And you're probably going to feel like a schmuck pretty quickly if you don't already before you even start. I mean, come on, seriously. Have you seen some of these scripts and dialogues out there that are specifically intended for the for sale by owners of the world? They're dreadful. And to my way of thinking anyone who has two brain cells to bang together should be embarrassed and reluctant to put these techniques into play. But unfortunately, our industry seems to celebrate this nonsense, and when sell with soul-minded agents balk at actually doing the nonsense, they're belittled for being wimps with these chickens or scaredy cats. Well, you're not going to find any of that here. In fact, if you've resisted pursuing business using cheesy, pushy, or unprofessional techniques, you have my utmost respect and admiration, and I thank you. For those of you who have resisted pursuing for sale by owners, or if you've very reluctantly done so, let me ask you this. Are you resisting pursuing them because you don't want the listings or because you don't want to make the first move? I'm guessing that the answer to that for most people is that if you didn't have to endure the fear or the discomfort of making the first move and the chance of rejection, you would actually enjoy having some of these listings. Am I right there? Now, I'm not saying you want all of them, because just like any other listing, there are some that you want and some that you don't. But in general, I'm thinking it's probably a safe assumption that most of us would not be opposed to having previously FSBO listings. We just aren't particularly fond of the process of getting them. So I'm going to assume that that's a fair assumption. So if we could help you come up with a way to get for sale by owner listings without venturing too far out of your comfort zone, you'd be a happy camper. That's what I'm thinking anyway. So if I'm wrong about that, if there's some reason that, you know, everyone in the audience says, my gosh, we don't even want for sale by owners, then let me know that. But I'm going to proceed on the basis that if you could get the listings without paying, you'd be happy to have them. Okay. So let's talk first about what a for sale by owner is and isn't. A for sale by owner is simply a human being who wants to sell his house. Okay, in the vast majority of cases, he's not some alien creature who was put on earth here to make real estate agents miserable, although many self-absorbed agents seem to think that they are. last year, maybe it was the year before, I don't know, there was a blog, I think it was featured, there was a blog at Active Rain by an agent who was tired of pursuing for sale by owners, and so she was writing them off, very gleefully writing them off forever and ever. It was a members-only post, so I didn't link to it here, but the gist of the post was that she had, I don't know, maybe for a month or so, she had been approaching for sale by owners and offering them all the stuff that you're supposed to offer them and talking to them and trying to convince them that they needed to hire her, and so far she hadn't had any luck at all. They were either, you know, continuing the FSBO route or they were hiring some other real estate agent, and she was rather disgruntled at the end of her month because she felt that they had wasted her time and that they weren't appreciative of her prospecting. So, you know, the article or the blog was basically, you know what, screw it, I'm done with for sale by owners, I'm going to go off and do something else. Well, that's fine. It's certainly anyone's prerogative to prospect or not prospect for a certain kind of business. But what was unsettling to me, and I'll read you my comments here in a minute, but what bothered me was not so much that she was frustrated with them, but was all of the other comments that came in on that blog of along the lines of, you know, for sale by owners suck. They're mean. They're evil. They're bad. And, you know, good riddance. And, you know, I won't touch them with a 10-foot pole. As if there's something wrong with someone who doesn't choose to hire you when they didn't ask for your help in the first place. Anyway, let me read what my comment was, and you'll get a feel for where I'm coming from on this. Here's what I said. While I never pursued for sale by owners, I find it a bit unsettling that so many comments seem to imply that the FSBO has some sort of obligation to all the agents who do pursue his business. They aren't FSBOing to irritate or offend us. They're doing it because they believe they can do a better job than we can, and they don't see the value in a real estate agent. That doesn't make them odd or freaky. It's simply a business decision they made that felt right to them. But just because an agent calls on a FSBO and tries to win his business doesn't mean that there's something wrong with the FSBO if he doesn't choose to hire that agent. Again, it's a business decision he makes based on what he feels is best for his family. I'm not trying to talk anyone into or out of pursuing for sale by owners. Either it's a target audience that works for you or it doesn't, but there's no reason to get mad at the FSBO home seller because he chooses a different route from the one you're hoping he'll choose. Anyway, what I was trying to say is that a FSBO isn't FSBOing simply to make you mad. They're doing it because they don't see the value in what a real estate agent brings to the table. They'd love to sell their home, and frankly, they'd be happy to pay you to do it if they thought you'd do a better job than they could. But that's the disconnect. They don't think you can, and in some ways, I can't really argue with them, especially when they're being approached in these cheesy, pushy, and unprofessional ways. I mean, why on earth would they want to pay someone all that money? It's a lot of money. Why would they want to pay someone all that money who is already demonstrating such a lack of respect and professionalism in their approach to the for sale by owner? Now, back when I was the new agent trainer in my RE/MAX office, my first trainee came to me and he asked about approaching a for sale by owner who was near his home. You know, he'd been driving home and he saw that, you know, for sale by owner sign out in his front yard or the front yard, and, you know, he was all revved up because, you know, this is somebody he's supposed to be prospecting to, right? Well, I asked him what he was thinking about doing, and he said his first line of attack was to call up the seller and offer a low commission in order to tempt him to hire him, tempt the seller to hire him. Now, I have mixed emotions about this approach for new agents in particular, and I won't go into them right now unless someone wants to hear my harebrained ideas about it. But what I told him was that the for sale by owner isn't necessarily looking for a cheap realtor. In other words, what I was trying to say was that simply trying to buy a for sale by owner's business with a low fee doesn't really speak to the seller's actual needs. Now, sure, they would prefer a low fee to a high fee, but wouldn't we all? Okay, that's not really their hot button. Their hot button is getting value for their money. As we talked about in the Go Giver show in April, Bob Berg described that, you know, I think it's the law, was it the law of value, the first law, about how if you can demonstrate that you provide more in value than you take in pay, it really doesn't matter what someone pays if he receives more in value than he paid. So, for example, if you charged, let's say, $10,000 to sell a house, and the seller netted $20,000 more than he would have without you, then he would have been happy to have paid that $10,000, right? Now, that's illustrative, but the point is, if you can convince a seller that you will more than pay for yourself with your professional services, your actual fee is going to be much less of an issue. But here's the kicker, and this is what I want you to take away from this discussion, that if you can't convince a for sale by owner that you bring more in value than you take in pay, even a very low fee is not going to be terribly persuasive. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, of course, this concept raises two or three questions, I think. First, how do you bring more in value than you take in pay? That's question one. Second, how do you convince a for sale by owner that you provide more in value than you take in pay? And third, how do you even get in the door to convince the for sale by owner that you bring more in value than you take in pay? Okay, I'm going to answer the first two questions and maybe the third, and then I'm going to turn the microphone over to my guests. Okay, first, how do you bring more in value than you take in pay? How do you actually sell the for sale by owner house for enough money more than he could sell it himself to justify your fee? How do you do that? Well, here's a little tough love. If you don't know the answer to that question, if you don't know how to do it, you need to figure it out. Your job as a professional real estate agent is to know how to sell houses, not just list them. If you don't honestly feel that you bring true value to the table, if you feel that your clients hire you out of pity or that you're pulling one over on them, I want you to stop pursuing business until you can confidently say that you are worth every penny of your fee and more. Note, I didn't say that you need every penny and more, but that you're worth it. Now, getting to that point is not a matter of mantras and affirmations. It's learning how to sell houses in your market. If you need help with that, I have a ton of material. Some of it's free, some of it's not free. The best two resources are probably my listings blog, which is free, and that's sellingyourlistings.com. And my second book, if you're not having fun selling real estate, you're not doing it right. There's a lot in there about selling houses. The blog is free. The book's less than $20. I also have a couple other products. This is not a sales pitch for my products, but I'm just throwing this in there. One of them is the gift I'm giving away today. That's the ebook and audio about for sale signs don't pay the bills or listed to sold, where I talk about how to actually get listings sold, and the other is my listing analyzer for expired listings. So there are resources, affordable resources out there to help you figure out how to be the listing agent who brings more in value than she takes in pay. Anyway, my point, and if I haven't made that clear, is that unless you do bring more in value than you take in payment, you will never be able to convincingly assure anybody that you do. All right, second, how do you convince a for sale by owner that you do bring value? Okay, I love this question. The answer is not with a slick sales pitch or a fancy PowerPoint presentation or even the perfect magic bullet letter series of letters. It's much simpler than that. It's simply being sincerely interested in the seller's situation and coming to him with a sincere desire to help. In fact, the less you talk and the more you listen, the more persuasive you're going to be. There are two reasons for this. First, it is persuasive to find out as much as you can about the seller's situation so that you can best figure out how to help him. Okay. And second, every other real estate agent they're talking to is doing all the talking. So if you're being willing to listen, that will be a breath of fresh air and very persuasive, I promise you. So leave the sales pitch in the car. Go in with the heart of someone who wants to and can help. Okay, third, how do you make that first move? Well, this is probably the toughest part. It is for me anyway. I hate making unsolicited phone calls. I hate calling people who aren't expecting my calls. So it's a big stumbling block for me. However, I'm thinking that if you make those calls with that sincere heart and a desire to help, instead of a memorized sales pitch or cheesy opening line, your calls will be greeted politely at the very least, and they might even be welcomed. And once you've had a few good experiences making these calls, the calls will get easier and easier to the point where you have absolutely no fear of making them, just like you know, calling up the doctor and making an appointment. Picking up the phone and calling a for sale by owner will not be something you're afraid of at all because you've had good experiences with it in the past. Wouldn't that be the sweetest thing ever? Okay. So with all that said, let's go ahead and see if we can get you there. Okay. My first guest is Becky Griffin. She is a first-year agent in Texas, Houston, I believe. Right, Becky?
Yes, Houston.
Yeah. Becky contacted me a few months ago, and I don't remember why or what we were talking about, but somehow we got on the subject of for sale by owners and expired listings, and she was writing to me to tell me how she had used the sell with soul philosophy to approach and list and sell some. So I said, hey, you know, tell me more. And she told me more, and I said, okay, you got to come on a show with me because this is simple, wonderful stuff that anybody can do. So I'm going to let Becky introduce herself a little bit further, and then she can tell you about her approach and insights. And then we're going to turn the microphone over to my other guest, whom many of you know, Molly Wasserman. And she is going to present a completely different way to approach and serve for sale by owner sellers based on her real estate consulting model. So, Becky, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, so go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you, and then, you know, tell us about your first for sale by owner experience or whatever you want to. Let's hear it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for having me again. I'm excited about this. Like she said, my name is Becky Griffin. I'm actually an agent, a realtor with Keller Williams in Houston, Texas, which I think for most of you know that they are big about, you know, using scripts and memorizing things to say to buyers and sellers, as well as cold calling and door knocking and all of that. However, I am not one of those agents that uses the scripts or things like that. I have used some of the scripts in the beginning to kind of help me frame conversations, but the more that I got used to it, the more that I just ditched the scripts. So the first thing that I would like to say is, you know, every morning I do get up and I get dressed. I get up at about 7 o'clock. I get dressed. I put my makeup on. I dress nicely like I was going to go out to meet with a client. That to me, has been huge just to start my day, to start it well. And I'll tell you that I only pursue expireds and for sale by owners. If I do get a referral, I'll take it. But primarily my day exists of either getting on Zillow.com. I don't know if I'm allowed to plug Zillow or not,
sure.
But I look at, they post daily people that are trying to sell their houses. There's a section of that website that's called Make Me Move. So Make Me Move. So I look in the zip code and then I click Make Me Move. And if you click on these for sale by owners, the listing, they'll either put the phone number of the person, which it already says on there that it's okay to contact this person, that they welcome buyer's agents to contact them, and or you could email them on the little part that says email the owner. So what I basically do, and I'm a new agent, some of you already know that, I have only been in the business for 4 months, and I have 3 listings, and at the end of next week I'll have 4, 2 of which are upwards of $500,000 listings, and they're all for sale by owner. The reason why I have these listings is, number one, I do not have a flashy presentation. Like Jennifer said, I don't have an iPad. I don't have, you know, a PowerPoint. I just have very thorough but very attractive, you know, presentation. And the key point there is thorough. I scour, you know, the comps. Like Jennifer always says, don't look at just the neighborhood. Don't just search for the neighborhood. Search for the actual streets around there. So I have a very thorough comparable CMA for them. But more importantly, as a new agent, and Jennifer mentions this book, this in her book, Sell with Soul, As a new agent, it's okay and sometimes encouraged by Jennifer to discount your fee. And I feel that for me, for right now, only being in the business for 4 months, it has been the number one thing that has really gotten me in the door, because I've found that there are certain things that for sale by owners are really concerned with. And number one, always is the fee. And as part of my listing presentation, I do take the pricing recommendation that I have for that particular property, and then I price out my expenses with marketing, with my own personal, you know, monthly expenses, as well as gas and things like, and taxes and broker commission. So I have it all there for them to see, and sometimes it's in the negative. And I'll say, you know, luckily I love what I do, so money is not the object. And to be honest with you, it's not going to be negative at the end of the month because I am closing more than one deal a month. But, you know, it's good for them to see that. It's good for them to see, you know, these are the things that I'm going to do and these are my expenses and this is what at the end of the day it looks like. And for them, it's good to see that. A lot of agents won't actually do that. And number two, a lot of times they've had experiences with agents where they're just frustrated or they're just tired of dealing with a realtor, and they say, well, I'm going to do it on my own, and because I don't have to pay the commission, I'm going to just jack up the price really high. So number two would say that the price recommendations from a realtor are not going to be something that they're going to be willing to talk about. But another good thing that I show them, and I usually try to set an appointment to look at, you know, at least two or three houses that are very comparable to theirs and say, at least have the pictures there, but then set an appointment for a couple of days after to say, let's go look at these so you can actually see, you know, would you be willing to put $2,000 in to get $5,000 or $10,000 out? Because when buyers are looking, our buyers today are very spoiled. So, you know, if they see these three other ones that have granite and you don't, they're not going to choose your house unless there's just something incredibly spectacular and unique about your property. They're not going to go for that. And what I tell them is that, you know, I am not your buyer, so I'm not going to tell you, you know, what I think it needs to look like or what I think you need to price it. I'm going to tell you what people that are actually going to be in this market are going to be looking for. I mean, I don't have anything invested in this as of now. This is just the facts. So, and then number three, they say that the realtors that they've dealt with in the past have not been thorough enough and they have not communicated enough. And so basically I tell them right at that point, you know, what's the best way for you to feel like you're being communicated with? Because that's going to be different for every single person. Me personally, I love email. I'm not a huge confrontational person. Although I'm getting over that, and the phone is I'm using the phone more. But do you prefer email or do you prefer phone or what do you prefer and how often do you prefer it? Because if you're not asking them, it's like a marriage. If you're not asking your partner or if you're not asking your partner how they need to be communicated to, that marriage is going to fall apart or it's going to dwindle. So you need to know right up front, you know, what's the best way to communicate with you. So I'll just tell you, I charge, and Jennifer's probably going to gawk at this, but I charge a 1.5%.
Wait, don't say numbers. Numbers.
Sorry. Well, okay. I charge very low, but I have learned that because of that, I have gained, you know, 5 or 6 different clients from each listing that I've gotten. And to me, it's worth it because if I'm priced right, because I'll say, yes, I'm discounting my fee, but I'm not going to be, you know, easily swayed to go more or less than what my recommended price is. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the way that I get in the door, this is just typically what I say is, hey, I'll use your call. I like to call first, and I'll say, hey, I saw that your house is for sale. Can you tell me a little bit about the house? I'm an agent with Keller Williams. I'm just curious to know, you know, what does it look like? What have you done with it? How long have you lived there? And what's your motivation to sell? And I just have a conversation with them, and I say, well, you know, I'd love to come by and look at it, just to have a good idea of what it looks like, because when I can actually go into a house, it's much different than actually seeing it on, you know, the pictures on the internet. So let me come in and just have a cup of coffee with you and let's talk about your house, or let me just look at it. And I'll tell you, I haven't had 100% success rate, but I have had very close to it. And I think the key there is being approachable, and number two, being very thorough. I mean, I have spent the last 4 months of my very short career learning my systems every day. If I have downtime, I'm looking over contracts, I'm looking over, you know, Tempo is what we use. I don't know if that's national or I just really know my systems, and I'm always looking for new ways to learn about how to do things and things like that.
So you have the confidence. Because I hear that in you. You have a lot of confidence in yourself, even though you're very new.
That's a huge thing, and you have to be prepared for the person on the other line to say, no way, I don't, and then hang up. Like, you want to expect for them to hang up on you, and then you'll be very pleasantly surprised that most of them do not hang up on you. So, I mean, I always prepare for the worst and hope for the best. That's kind of my life's mantra, but you're going to get a lot of people saying no, but you're going to get some that say yes, and those ones, and that, you know, you hear this all the time, the more calls you make, the more business you get. That's true. So just get over the fear, get on the phone. And I'll tell you just lastly, the most important thing for me really has been to get up, get dressed, like I'm preparing for the day, put my shoes on, and go for it, you know?
I'd like to get back to something you if it's okay, do you mind if I break in for a minute?
No, go ahead.
Okay. And for those of you, Becky and I have a little bit of a delay between us. Somehow we're not sure what that is. So if you're hearing these kind of awkward silences, that's just a phone technical issue. But, you know, Becky was talking about how she goes to for sale by owners with a discount. And some people think that's a great idea. Some people think it's an awful idea. I had mentioned earlier that, you know, I have mixed emotions about it. And if anybody wanted to hear my harebrained opinion about it, I'd be happy to share it. A few of you said, yes, we'd like to hear it. And it's directly related. So, I'll go ahead and share mine, and probably some of you will like it and some of you won't, and that's fine. I actually think for sale by owners are probably a great training ground for newer agents, and if it takes a discount or a lower than they're expecting fee, a lower fee than they're expecting to get in the door, I think that's perfectly fine. Now, there are reasons, and Molly would probably disagree with me on this, and she's welcome to argue with me, but you know, if a new agent can get experience, you know, selling houses, listing houses, negotiating, getting them to closing, and they have to, quote, unquote, pay for that experience by taking a fee lower than they would like or than their broker would like if they'll let them do it, I'm all for that. I mean, a lot of industries don't pay you at all while you're learning what you're doing. So, you know, I don't have any problem with a new agent going to a for sale by owner and offering up a reasonably low fee in order to get the experience. Personally, I have absolutely no problem with that. One thing, however, that said, I don't know that it's always going to be the hot button that we think it is. I mean, if you just walk in and say, okay, I'm going to charge you X percent and it's lower than everybody else, sign here, I don't think that's going to do the trick. I think it's just a piece of the puzzle, and it's not, you know, it's not going to be the selling, you know, the thing that the FSBO says, oh, well, cool. They still need to be persuaded that you're worth even that amount of money. The other problem I have with this and is that if you are going to for sale by owners with a lower fee than you would charge someone who came to you, I have a problem with that from an integrity perspective that, you know, I think you do need to be somewhat consistent among your clientele as to what you're charging them. You know, if you're going out there buying business, you know, with a low fee, but then if somebody else comes to you off the streets and you say, well, I'm going to charge them full price because they didn't make me discount, I do have a problem with that. And we don't have to get into a discussion of that today, but I do think it is something to think about. But as far as the concept of new agents going out there with a lower fee, I have absolutely no problem with that. I do think, though, it needs to be consistent. and not just as a gimmick used to get certain kinds of clients. So that's one of my little soapboxes. Let's see, what else did I want to comment on that? So, Becky, when you're the last time we spoke, which was a month and a half ago or 2 months ago, you've done a lot more since then. I mean, because I remember at the time you'd had some success, but it was, a handful, and it sounds like you've really made a business out of this, these for sale by owners. Is that, did I read that right? That you've really?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
All. Okay. So go ahead.
No, and what I wanted to say is I absolutely, absolutely agree with you as far as being consistent. And as a new agent, even the referrals that I've gotten, some from Twitter, which is amazing to me. Anyway, I do charge that low percent across the board because I let them know right up front, hey, I'm a new agent. However, I have an amazing team around me that at any point of the day or night, they're at my disposal. And I even have a coach that I work with one-on-one that answers my questions on a weekly basis. And, you're never going to be in a situation where something could go wrong. Things are going to go wrong and there's going to be stress, but I have a great team around me. But I feel like because I'm new, I feel like, I'm actually, I don't say paying for the business, but in so many words, I am for the experience. And the experience that I've had, I have a deal on one of my FSBOs or for sale by owners that I'm dealing with that I listed that we're going to close in a month. And it's been very stressful for all parties, but I'm so grateful for the experience because, had I not had that business, I wouldn't have learned. And I think it was absolutely worth it to take the commission split, discount to get that experience because this is my first, it's my first listing transaction. It's not my first buyer transaction, but the stress involved has been so profound that I couldn't buy this kind of experience anywhere else. And I'm so grateful that my first deal has been so stressful. And I know that sounds weird, but it's true. I mean, I feel like after this I can do anything. So,
We've had some comments on the Q&A screen about, commission. And I don't want to get into that as a big discussion item, but I did the same thing. When I first started taking listings, my first several were very low, and I was perfectly happy with that. I didn't begrudge it. I wasn't angry about it. But as my competence grew, my confidence in myself and my value grew. And so within a year or so, I was charging more. And as I got better and better, what I charged my sellers, I got very firm on. And in the last several years, there was no negotiating that with me because I was very firm about that. So, it is something. I think you'll probably get to the point where you'll approach for sale by owners without having to go in with a low fee, and you'll be able to, and you'll be able to get that business. And I'm very proud of you for just coming out right now and saying, hey, I think this is a good approach, and I'm happy with it, and I'm proud of it. So good for you. Some other questions are, you were talking about how you approach them, how you, how you pick up the phone and call them. And as I recall from what you said in our last show we did and on this one, I mean, you keep it very simple. You don't use gimmicks. You don't say, I have a buyer for your house. Can I come see? You just say, I'm an agent with Keller Williams, and I see your house is for sale. Can I come look at it? And I think, that's basically your approach, right? You don't get all drawn out and why you're calling. Just, I'm an agent. I'd like to see your house. Right?
Exactly. That is all I say.
And I don't think you need anything more elaborate or fancy or explanatory than that. And, I think a lot of agents go in expecting that they're going to have to, come up with this big, ridiculous explanation of why they might be calling up or say, I thought you might, blah, 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 blah. And really, you call up and you're nice and friendly and say, I'm an agent with so-and-so. They probably don't even care about your name. I'm a real estate agent with so-and-so, and I'd like to come see your house. Is there a time I could do that? Period. And I bet you, I don't know, I've never done it, but I'm going to guess more times than not they say yes.
Eight out of ten they say yes.
And then, you're in the door, you've made the voice-to-voice contact. If you are a, pleasant, prepared, competent, nice person, and you get in the door, I think you, and then if you you know, don't start badgering them and tricking them and using all these silly gimmicks on them. I think if once they're ready to hire a real estate agent, you're going to be someone they'll consider. Now, is that something that you, I mean, I know, you know, you haven't been doing this a tremendous amount of time, but is it something, have you found that they are ready to hire you or somebody at that point, or if it's a sort of a stay in touch?
One of my listings, I did go on the appointment and they didn't decide at that moment, but about 3 hours later they called and decided that they, and I didn't even ask. I didn't even have anything. I just had, you know, my folder with some paper and I was writing down notes and then I left and I didn't even ask for the business or anything. And 3 hours later they called and said, you know, we'd really like to list it with you. And I said, great, you know, I'll be over there on Wednesday at such and such and we can do this. But I never asked for the business. I just go in and I say, wow, the granite's amazing. You know, this looks like Carrera or whatever. And I just notice certain things and point them out. And I say, okay, great, well, here's my card. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to keep in touch with you just, you know, over the next couple of weeks just to make sure everything's going okay. And if you have any questions about real estate, don't you know, hesitate to contact me, and just as your consultant, I'd love to consult you if you have any questions along the way, which absolutely I will take those calls any day, even if I don't get the business. It doesn't matter, because in the future, you know, they will they'll always call on you if they know they can talk to you about things.
Well, shoot, and if they do sell their house themselves, which they may, then they might, you know, need somebody to help them buy a house. And they, you know, I think they would remember you very fondly. I do want to get moving on to Molly, because we always go way too long on these calls, and that's good. But I do want to – but let me go and see what our questions are here, if I didn't hit any of them, if we didn't answer them already for you, and then we'll move on to Molly. And, a lot of people have said, well, does the owner ask you if you have a buyer? Does the owner ask you about your commission? Does your owner ask you about – this or that, and I just want to reemphasize that if you make that approach in the very beginning, especially very simple, very polite, they're not going to grill you over the phone, and just get in their face, and I don't mean that rudely, but, you know, get face to face, and then you can have conversations, and you don't need to use gimmicks, you don't need to use scripts and pitches and dialogues, just have conversations. If the seller says, well, do you have a buyer? Well, if you have a buyer, then you can say, I might. If you don't have a buyer, I would be up front and say, no, actually, no, I don't. I would just like to come see your house. And that'll be different from what every other real estate agent is saying. I might have a buyer. You know, I work this neighborhood a lot. Or, yes, I do have a buyer. And they'll believe you. They'll trust you if you're not giving them the same line and the same pitch as everyone else. Of course, if you have a buyer, tell them that. But although I might be inclined not to, just because it's what everybody else is saying. Okay, I think we've answered. Sydney wants to know, when you go to look at the house the first time, have you already done some research? Have you already prepared a CMA?
Oh, girl, yes. I have.
Okay.
Definitely, yes. I've looked everything. I've done it just like, I wouldn't go all the way out. I mean, I wouldn't pull out all the stops, but absolutely. I know how. I've probably even driven by the house at this point. So.
Okay, good. And I hope you have. That's good. I meant to ask that. Becky, we'll probably get back to you with some more questions, but I'm going to go ahead and put you back on hold, and we can get to Molly's segment, because it's going to be something probably a lot of you have never heard before. So, Becky, thank you very much. That was awesome. I appreciate it. And let's move on to my good friend Molly Wasserman, who I met 2 weeks ago in Gatlinburg. And we did a show together, had a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll be able to do some more. So welcome back, Molly. Thanks for being here today.
Great to be here, Jennifer.
For those of you who don't know, Molly Wasserman is the founder of the ACRE program, the ACRE certification, which is the Accredited Consultant and Real Estate Program, which is really gaining some momentum, serious momentum. I happen to be an ACRE, and so I watch the boards, I watch the conversations, and hey, she's got something going here. So, you know, you can certainly read about that at some point. I have a link on the webcast page to Molly's site. But today we're just going to talk about specifically applying ACRE principles, or consulting principles, better said, to the pursuit and servicing of for sale by owners. So, Molly, you're on.
Oh, well, thank you. And, you know, it's I think it'd be better before I get into, you know, methods and tactics that I've used really successfully over my career with for sale by owners would be to state some premises that I have. And these are just my thought process. And again, no rights or wrongs, just, you know, my thought process. And a lot of it of these you'll find in a chapter in my book, which I think is one of your giveaways today, The End of 6%. But I actually, the name of the chapter is The Unrepresented Seller, better known as the For Sale by Owner. And that's my first premise. And this is going to blow, and it blows a lot of people in the business's minds when I say this, but these are my premises. Number one, I believe that really the only party that can truly sell a house is the one who holds title to it, the seller. I know it's very popular. We all like to say, I sold that house, or, you know, that's, you know, house I sold. But truly, the only person who can really sell a house is the owner. And if you accept that premise, that any owner, anybody who owns a house and wants to sell it is, in fact, a for sale by owner. It's just a matter of how much professional help they want and need. I think that the terms for sale by owner and FSBO came about historically because of the all or nothing structure we have in real estate. Either you hired a professional and they did everything and they were paid on contingent commission, or you had to go it totally alone. Or maybe you had a lawyer friend in your family or whatever, or maybe you had your aunt was a realtor and she'd give you some free help. But for the most part, it was an all or nothing, you know, either I get all professional help. And I think that's where this for sale by owner concept came. And, you know, I think that this all or nothing proposition, while I don't think it served the consumer very well, it worked pre-internet. And it worked because, frankly, the home seller had no other choices. If they wanted, you know, and I think we break up when we sell a home, we have to look at it as two distinct processes. One of them is the first process, which is locating a buyer for your home. And I call it playing the matchmaker, you know. And the other part of it is, you know, obviously once you find the buyer is negotiating the offer and bringing it to close, contract to close. And the internet has just totally revolutionized that first part of that, which is the matchmaking part, finding the buyer. And frankly, one of the things that I think has ill-served our industry is that what the consumer, they get that first part. They don't get the second part in terms of importance and need. They think that the whole reason to have a realtor, if they're going to hire somebody and pay that exorbitant amount of money they think they're paying us, is to find them a buyer. They think the rest of it is easy. We know, if we've been in the business any period of time, and even newbies like Becky would tell you, that finding the buyer is really often the easy part. It's what do you do once you found them? And pre-internet, the home seller really didn't have a lot of options. And we know that for sale by owners have notoriously been not too successful in selling their own homes. And it was particularly true prior to the internet. The internet has changed that. It's changing it night and day. And every year that goes by, for sale by owners are more and more successful. And I know that NAR will give you statistics saying that they're not. I would quibble a lot with their statistics because I don't think that they capture all of them, because I think, frankly, we don't know about it. I will tell you that the proportion and number of people who want to sell their home that are on eBay, Craigslist, has just mushroomed. Let me give you a quick example. I told Jennifer about this. I have a sister who unfortunately is going through a divorce, and she is in a situation where she needs to buy a new home, and her ex-husband's going to take over her old house and blah, blah, blah. And anyway, she happened, you know, a friend of hers at the gym she works out at said, oh, I have a neighbor who's thinking about putting her house on the market. She put it on the market a year ago. It didn't go anywhere. She took it off the market. She's thinking about it. She's not on the market right now, but, you know, it sounds like the kind of house you're looking for. And long story short, she went and looked at the house, loved it, and called me and said, what do I do? It's not listed. And, you know, in it, and, you know, of course, I ended up talking to her a lot about, you know, being able to hire a consultant on an hourly rate to negotiate the offer and bring it to close. And that was an ideal situation for her. But these types of situations are happening more and more. Sometimes they're, you know, very, informal, like the situation where she found out from the gym or, you know, it was word of mouth. But more and more people are going on, and Becky mentioned Zillow, and they are more and more finding each other without, I know this is horror of horrors in our industry, but they are finding each other without the help of a realtor. Now, what the internet has not changed is what happens once the buyer is found. And that is something that Jennifer and I have talked about this all the time. I'm going to say, and I say this in my book, and I say it when I present, and I say it to consumers all the time, the true value of a listing agent is not finding a buyer, although they certainly have the tools to help in that regard. Their true value is getting you the best value once the buyer is found. And it is that what I call, and I know a lot of people don't like these F words, but I'm going to use them. I use the terms in my course, functionary versus fiduciary. Or functionary is administrative type tasks, throwing a lockbox on, throwing a sign in the yard, making up cool color flyers, et cetera, et cetera. Fiduciary is the guidance, the judgment, the advocacy, the experience and the expertise that we bring to the table. Fiduciary is often things that require a license. It's not just throwing somebody in the MLS, but it's the representation that entails. And those fiduciary areas are what the internet can never provide. So, long, long story, and I am wrapping this up, Jennifer. But, my approach with, you know, for sale by owners, it was as I was developing the consulting model. And for those of you who aren't familiar, in a quick nutshell, basically, and this gets confusing because a lot of people call themselves consultants. I know Becky referred to, you know, I can consult with you. What I call a professional model of consulting is providing consumers a choice, both in the services that you can provide as well as how those services can be paid for. It doesn't eliminate a commission. It simply provides lots of other choices. By providing choices, you know, you have tools in your toolbox that your competition can't even touch. We have a tool in our ACRE program called a needs analysis, which, you know, is one of the most important tools that we provide. And frankly, it's what I developed as I was developing my consulting practice and made me incredibly successful with homeowners who were trying to sell themselves or were thinking about selling themselves. And it's basically, if you can imagine, I basically listed every single thing that I do when I list a home, from the very, very beginning of preparing the house to sale all the way to the closing table. And if you could imagine this list of items, and then I had four columns. One of them was, I have the ability and the desire to do this task myself. Number two, I'd like to hire a professional to handle this task. Number three, I don't care if this was ever done. And number four, I need more information. And on some of the tasks, I would put a little F, which meant fiduciary. And I would explain, you know, to the consumer, the homeowner, that fiduciary requires expertise and, you know, advocacy, representation, et cetera, et cetera. Those are what those tasks, and you'd be best, if you see a little F, think very hard about trying to do this yourself. Not impossible in some cases, but you could lose an awful lot of money and time and aggravation by trying to do these things yourself. This needs analysis was an extremely powerful thing that I was able to provide. Again, because I had the flexibility, I did have an hourly rate. I did have, you know, fee packages. One of the areas that, you know, I made an incredible amount of money over the years that I was actively doing client work was with homeowners who had found their own buyer. Sometimes it was totally accidental. They hadn't even decided to formally put their house on the market or put the for sale by owner sign on the yard. It could be something as simple as they were talking with somebody at work and said, I'm thinking about selling my house. I want to move to the Cape or whatever. You know, I want to move to the ocean, whatever. And somebody would say, gee, I've seen your house, George. My daughter would love to live in that neighborhood. And presto, change-o, they had a buyer. And then they said, oh, my God, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. And that's the problem that we've run into with our very strict way of doing business, the all-or-nothing phenomena, where you either hire an agent to do everything, including all the marketing, which they don't need in this circumstance, and sometimes we'll try to finagle around it and, you know, kind of smooth out the edges by giving a lower commission. But that's not really what they want. They want an affordable way to bring in a professional once they have the buyer to negotiate that offer, provide full fiduciary representation, advocacy, et cetera, represent them, and more importantly, to troubleshoot the transaction until it closed. And
now, Molly, I can see tremendous potential, I mean, in using the consulting model, but as far as, you know, for sale by owners who are marketing, how do you approach them? How do you use your consulting model to comfortably approach them?
Well, again, because I have a consulting model and because I have all different ways, bundles of services that I can provide, and because I have an hourly rate, one of the ways that, you know, I would, and frankly, I was a big one in terms of my business to work with my sphere. And I tended to get a lot of for sale by owners simply because my client base, my sphere, knew that I offer choices. And it's one of the things that I teach ACRES all the time is that once you understand the consulting mindset and have set up your tools, you know, your hourly rate, your fees, how you want to charge, and the different options you'll charge. And, oh, by the way, that does include commissions as one of the options. One of the things I stress over and over again is you will get to a point, and at first you're going to say, oh, that's something that I'll have in my little bag of tricks, and I'll only pull it out if I think I'm not going to get it any other way. And I caution people not to do this, that you should, if you have the tools as a trained consultant, go into every appointment, even if you're 100% sure they're going to go with a traditional commission. Go into it explaining, I'm a consultant, I'm trained, I provide some choices. These are the choices that I can provide. And, you know, based on what your specific needs are, what I found is that even if you're 100% sure they're going to go with a commission, and a lot of them often will, and sometimes they'll go with a full package, they will note how different this is, and believe me when I tell you, word spreads like wildfire. Mm-hmm. That's why you want to let everyone you know be aware of it.
Good point.
One of the things that I often did in approaching for sale by owners, and again, you have to have the tools, and I can certainly mention at this point, again, this is not a sales pitch because there's no money involved for me. Right now, presently, the ACRE program is free of charge. I don't know how long we're going to keep this going, but right now you can get the training free of charge. So just keep that in mind. But because I had already had my tools already developed, I could contact a for sale by owner and say, you know, I'm Molly Wasserman, I'm with Keller Williams, and I noticed your house is for sale. And I'm a consultant, which means that I offer you a lot of choices in terms of, and wondered if you like could take a look at your house. And then when I got to the appointment, I was in a position to really be able to just listen. What's going well? What's not going well?
Mm-hmm.
What do you wish? And you just get a tremendous amount of help. The other thing that I often would do, because I had the needs analysis tool to me, is to be able to contact them and say, you know, I noticed your house has been on the market a while. it's a real bummer. What do you think is going on with the market right now? And shut up and listen. They will tell you a tremendous amount. And when they would start to say, well, you know, I'm attracting a lot of buyers, but you know, I wish I had somebody else to show the house, you know, because I find that they're put off by me being there. But of course, I don't want to hire a realtor just to show houses. I just wish that, you know, there was a way, you know, a lot of for sale by owners are just amazed when you can offer them services, even functionary a la carte services like just showing a house. But when you start to talk with them and say, you know, what if you could hire somebody to help you with just the things that you needed, and you could pay them based on the value of those services rather than on the price of your house? Blows their mind.
That is such a power. I can't even imagine how easy that phone call would be to call and you have something to offer, as opposed to, I mean, it's so different from what any other agent who's calling them has to offer. And you don't even have to say, I want to list your home. You know, there are probably things you're finding that you aren't as good at. Or, I mean, I can think of probably 25 different ways to open that conversation completely, utterly, comfortably.
It could be something as simple as, you know, and again, I'm going to go way back to the 90s when, you know, when the Internet was just getting going, which is something simple like, you know, I can throw a lockbox in, you know, I mean, you know, a key lockbox, not a MLS lockbox, obviously, but, you know, I can print out your flyers and do them. I can do your digital photography for you. These were little ins that, you know, a lot of them didn't have really good cameras. They didn't know how to take a decent picture. They certainly couldn't do a virtual tour. And sometimes it would be just like, you know, just like let you know, I offer some real estate services a la carte that you might be interested in.
See, that's what I think would be a great in is the, you know, the a la carte and not as a gimmick and not as a
– Absolutely not.
But, I mean, you actually do. And it's – and here's the beautiful part is this is income. I mean, this isn't – you know, pie in the sky. This is I offer no. these services, and I charge. You know, and I charge a reasonable fee.
By the
fee
way,
for that.
Jennifer, we should all take note of for sale by owner companies. As much as we hate them, and frankly, one of the things that I really dislike about a lot of for sale by owner companies is that they take your money for, you know, frankly, crap, and they don't, and you have no refund. You know, if you don't like it. Whereas if you do a la carte services with me, I stand behind my work. And, oh, by the way, my little secret is that whatever they fees that they pay me in terms of either a la carte or, you know, something as simple, and believe it or not, they will pay for a professional CMA. And you're going to go, oh, my God, how could they do that? All these people are doing it for free. A lot of for sale by owners are extremely suspicious of having you come and do a market analysis. Why? They know that you're looking for a job. You're interviewing for a job. They know it. They don't.
Right, they're not
they don't
stupid.
Think you're. They're not stupid. They are not going to buy into that. But if you tell them, I will do a market analysis on your home, and by the way, because you're paying me for it, you can be sure that I'm not going to try to buy your listing. I'm going to give you the numbers of professional analysis of your home that you can take to the bank because you are paying me for it and I stand behind my work. And, oh, by the way, and here's my little secret, any fee you pay me, if down the line you decide to hire me to go ahead and just, oh, Molly, I've had it, just list my home. If you hire me down the line, whether you pay me by commission or by fee or however you pay me, anything you've paid me up to this point, I'm going to accredit toward you. Talk about a incredible, and bet, you know, and Betsy had talked about, you know, lowering your fees or whatever as a way. This is a way to lock them in like nothing else, because the only way they're going to get, you know, that $200 they've already spent with you back is if they go with you. And, you know, and my reasoning was, frankly, you know, if I list your house, I'd do a market analysis anyway. So these are things that I would do anyway. So that was an incredible tool. But again, I can't stress this the most. People just want to be listened to, and they want you to hear them. If they're not, they, the old saying about, you know, people don't care, you know, how
don't care what
you
know until they know that you care.
Know that you care.
Oh, no, thank you.
Couldn't remember. Yeah. You know, me with Miss Quote.
You're the queen of
that,
quotes, and you were missing that one.
I was missing that one. But and I think that that's important. The last thing I just wanted to stress is that, you know, I go back to the functionary versus fiduciary. I know my value. My highest value is not in making feature sheets or doing digital photography. That's not my highest value. But I don't have a relationship with them yet. And sometimes by doing a good job on an a la carte functionary type of task, I have the opportunity to get to know them and build a level of trust. Once a level of trust is there, you know, I'm able to say to them, you know, they'll say, well, you know, I'm on Craigslist and I'm on da-da-da and I'm going to find my own buyer. And, you know, I can honestly, sincerely say, because of my business model, it's not a threat to me. And, in fact, I will tell them that that's a great way to harness technology. Go at it. Find that buyer on your own. I wish you all the luck and, you know, please let me know how you're doing. But, by the way, when you find that buyer, that's when you're going to need me. That's when you're going to need me the most. Where a seller
I could see that as a good way to go in and, you know, almost a sort of a assumptive reverse psychology of, you know, that, you know, good luck with that. You know, if you do a great job, you'll be, you know, you'll be successful. You may be able to sell your home and, you know, I wish you all the best with that. If I can help you once, you know, you're under contract, you know, here I can do that a la carte, blah, blah, blah. But it's not looking for the listing.
I'm not looking and I'm not because frankly, I would average to when they found their own buyer. And, oh, by the way, I work with buyers who'd found their own home, too. And, again, represent them, full fiduciary, negotiate the offer, and troubleshoot the transaction to close, usually average about 6 hours. I'm not going to use numbers, but I charge very well on an hourly rate. But if you could imagine that that chunk of change, 6 hours times X my hourly rate, which was pretty considerable because I was good, that money was less than a average commission, was good money, and I was guaranteed it. And on an hourly basis, I was paid extremely well. And I could use all of the unpaid time that I would have put into a traditional listing by commission and apply it toward fee-based. And I disagree with anybody who says that fee-based, you can't make very good money. If that was the case, then lawyers, CPAs, and other people who charge on by fee.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
You can get paid very, very well. So that's kind of a little synopsis. I don't want to blah, blah, blah too long.
Well, Molly, we're getting a lot of good feedback coming in on the webcast of like, oh, my gosh, this is awesome, and I want to know more, and we're going to get to that. But thank you. You know, it's funny. I love Molly's philosophies and methodologies, but I had never really thought about how beautifully it applies to the for sale by owner and maybe even expired. I'm guessing you could use it there. But if nothing else, to give you that extra little confidence, that extra little feeling that you have something of value other than, hey, I have a real pretty real estate sign I'd like to put in your yard, you know, that looks just like everybody else's real pretty real estate sign. I have something special. And that's where a lot of us.
I just want to, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to add something, Jennifer. And this is just, and I cannot agree with you more at the very beginning where you talk about the cheesy scripts and the cheesy types of approaches. You know, you know, I always laughed when I was new in real estate in the mid-90s because I was taught, I was with a traditional company and they taught me all these cheesy scripts and cheesy, and to me it just reeked of, okay, I'm going to keep coming back week after week and give you stuff until you realize how stupid you are and you need me.
Right.
And then we wonder why the for sale by owners look at real estate agents with askance. You, if you think that they're stupid, it's going to come out in your approach, and they are not stupid. These people are not stupid. However, be real, be value, be empathetic, and listen to them. You will have so much business, especially if you can adopt a model whereby you can offer real choices. And I am not talking about crap choices where they don't get value for their money, but that they can have real choices. And, oh, by the way, it can lead to traditional business, but it can be good just in and of itself without insulting people's intelligence.
Well, and that's just huge, I think, with for sale by owners and expireds, is that so much of the stuff that people go in with is so insulting to the intelligence, and it's hard to imagine how it could possibly ever work on anybody with, as I say, two brain cells to bang together. If you click on the link on the webcast that says Jennifer's FSBO Ramblings or something, you'll see an article that I wrote last year about, you know, Mr. FSBO, you're an idiot, and I'm not. And that's, I talk about just that, is seriously, this is an effective prospecting technique to go in and tell someone they're too damn stupid to do the job themselves and therefore you need me? Anyway, brilliant. Sherry wants to know, and this is for Molly, do you get paid even if the house does not sell? Yes, right? I mean, if you're charging
if I do it on a fee basis,
yes.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Marnie wants to know, I think this is a good question. It's does Molly feel that a for sale by owner can market better than a realtor? Because we have the, you know, 200 internet sites, marketing material, et cetera, et cetera. I guess you had made a comment something about the for sale by owner being able to market as well as or better than a realtor. Did you say something like that?
No, I don't think I said that. If I did, that's not what I, you know, I mean, you know, all things being equal, obviously we have the tools to market far better than a for sale by owner. What I'm trying to say is the internet is leveling the playing field a lot more than ever was possible in the past. There's just a lot more outlets. And, you know, Jennifer, when I was in Gatlinburg, you know, I brought up the comparison with the travel industry, and it was very similar in that pre-internet, the travel industry had a lock on travel information. They had the access to the best schedules and da-da-da, and since the internet has, we have just, the consumer has so much more information to be able to compare flights and schedules and things like that, so it's really leveled the playing field. Are you better off
and
with a travel agent? Sure, but you get my point.
But if it's, is it really worth that much extra money if we were, okay. A couple questions, is what sorts of things when you would go have your nice little cup of coffee with a for sale by owner, would you leave anything with them? Did you leave them your CMA? Did you leave them any marketing material about you? And two, how deeply would you go into helping them, like, identify staging issues or any problems to sale? How deeply do you go into that sort of thing? So if you want to answer both of those.
Sure. Well, and you're going to get a lot of mixed opinions about this. I always leave my CMA with them because, to me, it's it's another step to say, you know what, I really care about you, and I really care enough about you to give you the research that I did, you know, 2 hours this afternoon. And so I do that because I genuinely care about them. And when you do that and you have that frame of mind, you know, it's not going to matter if they choose someone else, really, because, I mean, and Molly's been in the business a long time, so she has options where I probably don't right now. But in the future, I still would probably leave it because that's just the kind of person I am, and I think that what goes around comes around. So in the future, they're probably more likely to choose me than they would if I had just said, you know what, I'm not going to leave that because I spent a lot of time on that, and, you know, I don't really.
You see, and this is one of the areas and I will respectfully disagree with both of you, but Jennifer knows my thoughts on free CMA, so I'll agree to disagree on that one.
Okay.
That's no problem.
We've agreed to disagree on one or two items, but not too many. No, I agree. And anything, I'm going to definitely want to leave something to, I mean, yeah, exactly. So, okay, do you leave any other sort of marketing material? Do you have personal brochures or magnets or doodads or anything like that?
No, I just leave a card. And then the very next day, I'll give you an example. I'm from Louisiana originally, Baton Rouge, and I'm an LSU alumni. And so one of the for sale by owners that I went to was a $1.6 million listing. And the guy I had found out before from Facebook was an LSU alum as well. So what I did was I automatically had that in. I specifically chose that for that specific reason as well, because I knew Louisiana people can just talk no matter who they are or whatever. So what I did was after I left, you know, we had a great visit, whatever, left with my card and just a basic CMA printout. It wasn't anything spectacular. I don't do the full thing, but just a printout. Mm-hmm. And then the very next day, they had their youngest daughter was going to be a freshman at LSU this August. And so what I did is I put – an LSU bumper sticker in there, and I said, you know, I remember my first fall semester and how important it was, and I loved having this on my car, so I hope she will too. And that's it. And, you know, and no, I haven't gotten that listing yet, but I still keep in touch with her, and she still contacts me, and they're just not ready to list it yet. But I know for a fact that they will be. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm hoping, you know, that eventually that they'll think
it's a personal touch. It's not just a, you know, okay, I created this magnet and I'm going to give it to you because I have 1,000 of them in my garage. You know, made an extra, which is a different subject. But so, okay. And then how much, when you meet with them, how much, quote unquote, free information are you willing to give to be helpful?
Oh, as far as the staging goes and things like
staging
that.
Staging or anything else you see that might be an issue.
I usually spend about 20 minutes, and as much or as little information as I feel, depending on how I can gauge the relationship to be going, it's generally very well because you're not asking for business, you're not probing them, you're just, like Molly said, you're just sitting back and you're just listening, and you've said that as well. So it's generally about 20 minutes. I don't usually like to go longer than 30 because my time is valuable, and but yeah, I'll
leave
give
them wanting
as much.
More.
I'll give as much or as little as possible, just depending on the person and the relationship. I wanted to tell Molly that I am just amazed at your system, and I can't wait to get on board with that. It's you know, and what my whole thing was that I wanted to be a consultant, but I didn't really know how to go about doing that. And by listening to your system, I am just blown away, and I am so pumped about starting to do that.
Well, I think you have the heart of a consultant. So you do. And by the way, and Becky, I really want to just comment about this in general, is that, you know, there are, so, in fact, I would say it's the majority of agents today have the heart of consulting. You know, they are really in their heart, because they do understand the responsibility as being a true fiduciary of giving their best to putting the client's needs first. They just don't have choices to provide the consumer. On the other hand, I know that there are, unfortunately, this is a minority of people who they have all kinds of different ways to charge for their services, but they're not consultants. It's just a gimmick to them. It's just they don't have the consumer mindset and the people mindset. And if I had to choose one or the other, anybody can grab some tools. But if you don't have the mindset of putting the consumer's needs first, you will never be a successful consultant.
Exactly. Very good point. All righty. Becky, Molly, thank you so much. I'm guessing we could sit on here another 90 minutes, but we aren't going to. So thank you so much for being here with me today. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And I will be in touch with all of you soon. Have a wonderful day. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.